Today on Family Talk.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk, which is a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson, and I'm pleased to share with you a classic program from the past. I have a very encouraging recorded presentation from one of my favorite speakers, the late Zig Ziglar. I think he's one of the best lecturers that this country has produced. I met him at a conference back in 1976, and we became great friends for the rest of his life. I remember going up to talk to him afterwards, and I asked him how he was doing. I'll never forget his response. He said, "I'm super good, and I'm getting better." He said that to perhaps 500,000 people. I have no way of knowing, but that was his catchphrase. And it characterized the optimism he was known for and his overall attitude toward life. Zig Ziglar was an award-winning speaker and authored over 30 books. He also founded Ziglar Incorporated, which continues to provide training and motivation to business professionals around the world. He also served in World War II. He was a man that I respected very highly. Unfortunately, he passed away in November of 2012 at the age of 86, and he is greatly missed by those who knew him and heard him speak. His legacy lives on through his recordings, such as the ones that you're going to hear today and tomorrow. I really think you're going to enjoy his real and at times funny way of communicating. He had a great sense of humor. Let's listen now to Zig Ziglar as he talks about the infectious and delightful joy that comes from serving the Lord.
Heard about this pastor that knew the law, at least part of it, knew the Bible, at least part of it, speeding down the highway doing about 80 miles an hour. Long arm of the law stopped him. Highway patrolman who happened to know him. And he said, "Pastor," said, "what's your big hurry? You're driving 80 miles an hour down here, weaving in and out of the traffic. You're going to kill yourself and other people." He said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Well, I got a sermon to preach down the road here in about 20 minutes. He said, "You're not going to be preaching to anybody." He said, "What's in that bottle there?" And he said, "Why, it's water." And the patrolman said, "Well, can I see it?" And he said, "Yeah, sure." And he looked it over pretty good, took the top off and smelled it. And he said, "Pastor," said, "this ain't water, this is wine." Pastor said, "Well, praise the Lord, he's done it again." And I got to tell you, we pray that he'll do it again. We pray that revival would hit again right here, because America is in a crisis. It is a very serious crisis at that. And I got to tell you, it's not the fault of the media. It's not the fault of the liberals. It's not the fault of the atheists. It's not the fault of the ACLU. Not the fault of the terrorists or the educators or the Democrats or the Republicans or the independents. It's the fault 100% of the Christians. Had we taken 2 Chronicles 7:14 really seriously, where God said, "If my people who are called by my name will get on their face, repent of their sins, call on me from heaven, and I will hear their prayers and I will heal their land." And you start looking at all of these things, folks. Let me tell you something. If we as Christians were to take the Ten Commandments, if we were to take the Golden Rule, if we were to take the fruits of the Spirit, when you think about it, if you have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, we would be so attractive that everybody who sees us would say, "Man alive, I don't know what that guy's got. I don't know what that gal's got, but whatever it is, I want me some of that." Love the story of the mama skunk and the three baby skunks who went close to the paper mill. How many of you ever been close to a paper mill? You'll get the drift of this. One of the baby skunks sniffed the air and filled her nostrils with that pungent paper mill odor and said, "Mama, what on earth is that?" And the mama skunk sniffed the air and filled her nostrils with it and said, "I don't know, but we sure got to get some of it." You see, I just believe if we really take this thing properly, we, ladies and gentlemen, we will have the same thing said about us. I want to get me some of that. We need to go back to those first and second century Christians. What they did, you remember Stephen, the first martyr? When he was stoned to death, they said his face absolutely glowed. There was something about him that the Shekinah glory of Christ was right there on him. I never will forget hearing what my mentor, Fred Smith, said, 89 years old now, the wisest man I've ever known. He said, during those first and second centuries, the power was so strong and it was so evident that Christians dare not go out in public during the daylight because they literally shone and they were recognized as Christians and their lives were endangered. Many years ago, I was involved in an organization and I came to know a man who was a professional wrestler. And he was a bad of the bad guys. I mean, this dude would do just about anything. Several years later, I was speaking in Oklahoma City. I got a call from him and said, I'm going to pick you up at the airport. I'd love to see you. And I said, wonderful. When I got off the airplane and started walking at least 100 yards away, I spotted him. Might have been longer than that or further than that. And the instant I saw him, I knew in my own heart and mind that the man knew the Lord as Savior. And when I walked up and shook his hand and gave him a big old hug, I said, you know the Lord, don't you? He said, you bet I know the Lord. There's something there, ladies and gentlemen, that makes a big, big difference. When we really have God's Spirit inside of us, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a special way. We had the privilege recently of going to Manhattan on a mission trip. A number of us went up there, and it was a marvelous experience. From my own personal perspective, I believe those Indians knew something when they saw the Dutchman coming with that $24 worth of stuff, and they sold the island to them. I think the Indians took advantage of them. But anyhow, we were up there doing some street evangelism, and it was a wonderful experience. We were passing out little goodies and inviting them to a dodgeball game, and some of them rejected us out of hand, you know. Some kind of smiled and shook their head and said, no, not interested. And all kind of things. And we were up there on behalf of the Graffiti Church. How many of you have heard of the Graffiti Church? Can I see your hands? Taylor Fields, a pastor, a brilliant pastor, wonderfully well educated, could have had any pastor in America he really wanted, but he felt called into the inner city on the east side. He's done a wonderful job. When he got there, the little storefront, that's what the church was, and so he painted it, and the next day, the gangs had come in and put graffiti all over it. Well, he had it repainted, and they came back in and put the graffiti all over it. And he said he knew he was in a losing situation, so he simply decided to name it the Graffiti Church. Now, let me tell you about the impact of this man. When we were working the neighborhood around that church, we were like in a different country. This man and this church's impact had been so huge that everybody there was kind and gracious and enthusiastic and responsive and very gracious and grateful for what we were doing. And I thought to myself, I wonder if every Christian church in America, if they had that same kind of impact in their neighborhood, would we have the difficulties that we're having in our country today? I don't think that we would. But I got to tell you, folks, Satan's most effective lie ever told has been that we're supposed to keep our faith either in the church, it's okay to talk about it there, and it's okay to talk about it at home. What you have heard over and over with a lot of help from the liberal media and those people who really do not believe all of the Bible, they have their selections, you know, they believe part of it, they don't believe the other part. I was privileged to be in Dr. W.A. Criswell's church the first 20 years after I was saved. I was 45 years old when I was saved. An elderly lady spent the weekend in our home. And as a result of that, I committed my life to Christ. I had been to church at least 1,500 times, been baptized when I was 12, was headed straight for hell. I was no more saved than I was a goat. Now, this dear lady didn't physically sit on me, but almost. She walked in talking about Christ. She walked out talking about Christ. And she had one subject and one subject only in her mind. She was talking about Christ. If she told me once, she told me 50 times, God's been waiting on you a long time. Now, I did not bow my head that evening. I did not confess my sins. I did not ask for forgiveness. I did not repent. I did not invite Christ in my life. But strangely enough, when I woke up the next morning, I knew the redhead had a brand new husband. Now, some of you know when I talk about my wife, I always call her the redhead. She's a decided redhead. I mean, one day she just decided she is going to be a redhead. And she made a deal with her hairdresser. She said, look, you keep me in the red and I'll keep you in the black. And so far it's worked out real good. When I talk about her, I always call her the redhead. When I'm talking to her, it's sugar baby. And her name is Jean, and next month we celebrate our 58th honeymoon. Anniversaries can be boring, but thus far I have never been on a boring honeymoon. We've got it all planned out, know exactly where we're going to go, exactly what we're going to do. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is an exciting world in which I live as a child of the King. It's really astonishing, God's grace. When I met Christ as my Lord, I was broke. My career was going absolutely nowhere. And my speaker friends cautioned me, now, Zig, your career is finally beginning to crawl along. Don't foul it up by, talking about your faith from the platform. Well, immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I was convicted instantly that that was lousy advice. From day one, I have made it crystal clear where I was coming from. Never since I was saved have I failed to let people know that I was a Christian, that I was saved. I knew where I was going. They had warned me that it would foul up my career. Well, let me tell you the damage it caused in my career. I have not had to solicit a speaking engagement in over 32 years. And I do not use a booking agency. My telephone rings. I've got over 35 engagements already booked for next year, and I still don't use a booking agency. We have got to start spreading the word. And pastors, I got to tell you, you need help. You need lots of help. And you impossibly cannot do it all on your own. You're outnumbered by us, lay people. We got a whole bunch more of us than we got of you. And you can only preach so many sermons, you can only teach so many people, you can only do so much. But when you organize, ladies and gentlemen, the people that are in your church, when you teach them and inspire them and encourage them and equip them with at least three theological degrees, everybody needs these three in order to be completely successful in this ministry. I have got my three degrees, and I'm so grateful for them. I got my B.A. Now, that's not my Bachelor of Arts. That means I'm born again. I also have my D.D., and that's not my Doctor of Divinity. That means I'm disturbing the devil. I also have my Ph.D. No, I don't have a Doctorate of Philosophy. That means I am past having doubt. Now, let me tell you something, folks. When you know and you know that you know that you know exactly where you're going to spend your eternity, there is a different you that is in action. You become attractive. You become excited. You want to share. The Great Commission takes on brand new meaning for you. I have had the privilege of being able to witness to people all over. Recently, I've been talking a whole lot about stress. And you know, stress is one of those devastating things. And according to the research, up to 90% of all the visits to medical doctors is the direct or indirect result of stress. Now, a little stress is highly desirable. It shows that you are committed, that you're responsible, you want to do the right thing. But it's hard to be motivated when you're all stressed out. And so how do we go about reducing it? Now, in my public seminars, I go over several things, but then I get to the real crux of the matter. You know, people ask me, they used to ask me very often, they seldom ask it now, what impact did 9/11 have on me? Well, the answer, as far as my travel is concerned, absolutely nothing. I don't drive my car looking in my rearview mirror. I'm not going to run my life looking over my shoulder. And then I say to them, besides, as a Christian, I know that there's not a terrorist in the world who can lay his hands on me unless it's in God's time and God's will. My Bible tells me in Psalms 139:16 that my death date was determined before I was born. Now, if that's the truth, and in my heart I know that is the truth, that means they cannot touch me. As a matter of fact, if that is the truth, and again, I know it is the truth, it means the U.S. Army could not protect me. It also means that if it is the truth, and again, I know it is the truth, I got to tell you, number one, I'm ready to go. Number two, why on earth should I get all stressed out when I receive the greatest promotion any human being will ever experience from planet Earth? And then I simply say to them, I know they're with an audience this size, and sometimes I spoke to 16,000 people at one audience this very week. When I speak to audiences like that, I always say to them, look, I know that many of you here have a little faith, different faith, or no faith at all. But I can tell you two things. I can tell you, number one, the first place that character qualities ever appeared in writing was in God's book. I can tell you also that those Supreme Court justices who said we could not display the Ten Commandments in certain places would themselves be disrobed, disbarred, and disciplined, and probably put in jail if they themselves did not obey those biblical principles in the Ten Commandments. In any business, and I'll tell you, your life and your business has no chance of survival if you don't obey them. You just kill somebody on the job and see how long you last there. Show up 2 days out of five and see how far your career goes there. Embezzled from the God. These are all biblical principles, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm talking about. And you know what? I get a round of applause when I say that. People are so hungry for the truth, they want to hear it, and they want to hear it right on. When we do our own seminars, not only, and all I really do is paraphrase the Bible, throw in some funnies, and tell some human interest stories. You know, I tell folks I'm like a cross-eyed discus thrower. I don't set any records, but man, I keep the crowd alert. And, you know, I think that is very, very important. I really, really do. Now, the bottom line is that our own company, when we sponsor a seminar, I do these exact things, and then when it's all over, I give my testimony. Let me tell you what happened. We were speaking, I had a seminar down in McAllen, and that's exactly what I did. I wove the scriptures all the way through, and then when I got through, I gave my personal testimony. Well, a gentleman was there, and he called his brother, Gary Havens, who founded Curves. How many of you are familiar with the Curves workout? They had 7,000 franchises, and one-third of the time it took McDonald's and the Subway people to get that many franchises. It's a fabulous organization. The man is an outspoken Christian. Well, Gary Havens is the founder. His brother called him and said, you can't believe what Zig Ziglar did. And then he told about that seminar. Well, Gary called me, and he said, I want you to speak at our national convention. I want you to do exactly the same thing there. We ended up with the biggest training contract we've had in my entire lifetime. People are hungry for the truth. We need to come out of the closet. We need to let people know who we are. And pastors, you need to tell your people exactly that same. We need to set the example for people. People are not going to believe everything you say, but they will believe everything you do. Let me get you to do this for me. Will you please empty your hands right now? I'm going to simply say, one, two, three, go. Then I'd like to get you just to slap your hands, okay? One, two, three, go. You ignored everything I said. You did everything I did. People are that way. They might not believe everything you say, but they will believe that you believe everything you do is the right thing to do. We got to set the example, and they do pick up. when our children are growing up, I created three mythical characters called Skeeter, Scatter, and Scooter, the three scared skeeters from Schenectady. And every night I tell my kids all about this thing. Today, my son has got Wally the Weasel, and he is teaching his daughter those things. They pick it up from us. They follow us, the example we set. So important. We need to understand that, folks, and we really need to be about teaching those people in our pews what they need to do. We need to understand that, ladies and gentlemen, 96% of my speaker friends say to me, does it ever affect your career? What happens there? I said, let me tell you something, a fact of life. 96% of the people in America believe there is a God. That's a fact. Why should I risk offending 96% of my audience by not telling them and talking to them about something they already believe in? That ain't even good marketing. As a marketing question, just as a matter of curiosity, how many of you have ever either heard me before or else this is going to be your first time? Could I see your hand, please? All right, well, you're still here, and that's good. I'm glad to know that we're there. Let me tell you something. So many people are just convinced they should not talk about their faith outside of the church and the home. Tom Harkin is a good friend of mine. He owns a couple of Mexican restaurant chains. He's gotten the Horatio Alger Award. He could not even read until after he was 30 years old. He's an amazing man. He's gotten several honorary doctorates. And he was telling us that at one of the prestigious universities, when he got there, one of the gurus, one of the executives, you know, part of the organization there, said, now, Tom, you know, we've got some people in the audience that are going to, we're hoping they'll increase our endowment funds and all. You're not going to talk about that God stuff, are you? Well, Tom said it absolutely stunned him. He had never had anybody say something like that to him before. He didn't know what to say, so he called his wife. He always called her Miss Melba. He said, Miss Melba, what am I going to say? She said, Tom, don't worry about it. God will tell you what to say. Well, when Tom stood up to speak, you know, he said the first words out of his mouth is, what this university needs is God, and they need him right now. Prolonged standing ovation took place. When he got through, he had another prolonged standing ovation. It's a bogeyman when they talk about, we're not supposed to talk about. People want to hear the truth. We've got the truth as Christians. We're the only one who has got the truth. And if we don't share it, they ain't going to know what the truth is. And they need to see it in us. That's what I'm talking about. Another example, I had the privilege several years ago speaking to the Harvard Forum. You know, those lawyers up there, and, you know, everybody knows that nobody up there believes in Christ. Well, after I finished speaking, and as I always do, I acknowledged my faith, and I talked about that faith, and then they always have that question and answer session. And so the first five people that stood up said, well, Mr. Ziegler, I'm a Christian too, but let me ask you this. First five did that. When the all was over, a number of them came down and said to me, well, I didn't want to ask a question, but I just want you to know that I'm a Christian too. We got millions of Christians in the closet. Everybody else has come out. We got to get the Christians out in the world. Because we do have crisis. It's a crisis of morality. What's happening in America is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany a number of years ago. And it doesn't take but just a little bit of time for those things to happen. You see, I didn't even realize this until a couple of 3 years ago. Ed Silvoso, an Argentinian who is an evangelistic preacher, has a book, Anointed for Business. When I read it, I learned some things. I already knew them, and yet I really did not know them. He pointed out that Christ's ministry on earth was for 3 years, but he was a businessman for roughly 15 years. He didn't make all those beds and bunks and tables and chairs and cabinets for himself. He sold them. He was a businessman. Every disciple he had was a businessman. And there never was a miracle performed in a temple or a synagogue. It was always on the job. That's where it happens, pastors, out there. But you got to equip them, encourage them, inspire them, teach them how they can get out there and share their faith.
Power. powerful words of instruction to believers from the late Zig Ziglar here on this edition of Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and we hate to interrupt Mr. Ziglar's speech, but we've run out of time for today's broadcast. So be sure to discover more about the life and legacy of Zig Ziglar by going to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast page. Did you know that you can listen to Family Talk on your Amazon Alexa? This smart device allows you to access Dr. Dobson's latest interviews through a quick command. After you enable the Family Talk skill in your account, simply say, "Alexa, play today's broadcast of Family Talk." It's that easy. Learn how to play our broadcasts on your Amazon Alexa by visiting drjamesdobson.org/Alexa. Join us again tomorrow as we bring you the conclusion of Zig Ziglar's dynamic presentation. That's coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll join us again next time.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.